podcast is part of the Podcast You're Seeing Network. Visit us at www.podcastyourseeing.com.
Media has an agenda that they're gonna serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those
running in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
The Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star.
Anybody else have any interesting stories they don't want to come to tell?
This is Doug from After the Fall. Hey, this is John Lane from the thriving tropics of Leechburg, Pennsylvania.
The Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer.
Wanna know why I'm so charged up? My favorite band's rolling into town. Filthy pennies and crunched up dollars. Bought this ticket, time to get unwound. If music's your reason to be, makes you feel so wild and free. Grab your boots and get ready to hang with me. Drums right in my chest. Need the magic that pops when eyes meet. Doesn't count if I ain't drenched in sweat. Loud music's my reason to be. Makes me feel so wild and free. Throw some horns if you wanna rock out with me.
Where we're born to go. Meet me in the front. It's Bill. You're tuned into the Pennsylvania Rock Show featuring the best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer right here on PARockShow.com, MegaRockRadio.net, 107.1 FM, St. Louis, Missouri, AltRockRadio.ca up in the Toronto, Canada area. On the west coast of the United States, we have RootaRooRadio.com. Here in Leechburg, BuildTheScene.com. And across the pond, we have xrpradio.co.uk. With me tonight, I think, is Modern Welfare. They may have just froze on me. Are you guys there?
We should still be here.
Okay. Hello.
Yes.
Hey.
So, I'm going to start things off with some normal questions, but if you've ever listened to the show, that's not really how it ends up. You maybe be a little worried, maybe not. Could you each introduce yourselves and tell me what your role is in the band first?
I'm John, the drummer of Modern Welfare. I'm Lucas. I'm the rhythm guitar player and lead singer.
I'm Dan, the lead guitarist.
Kyle Mintis. I play bass and I sing.
Sorry. See, usually in a scenario where there aren't enough mics, it's the drummer that doesn't get one.
Yeah, your mic back.
But lost it. But I will say, usually on the show that the drummer does have a mic because they like to get some words out that they don't have a chance doing.
Here, bro, you lost. You got it back.
I got it back.
So how did you guys come up with the name Modern Welfare? Where did it come from? Is there a cool story behind it?
Honestly, we just, whenever me and Dan met the lead guitar player, we had a different drummer at the time and everything. And we just tossed a few names around and, our situations in life and just where things were at. We tossed some names around, and Modern Welfare is what we kind of came up with. Essentially, the goal is along the lines of, like, with all the things that are happening in the world and everything that's happening and just in life, people are reaching out to things that are negative. Music should be what stimulates us. So that's why we kind of came up with the name Modern Welfare, is like music is the thing that should sustain us, not, you know, all the other negative things we can choose to do in life. You know what I mean?
If you guys were to go out on an international tour, what other local bands from the scene would you take with you?
Honestly, we played with Your Fractured Fairy Tale. They're a local Pittsburgh band, and they're amazing. They're cool guys. Their music is great. I also have a friend. His name is Dom. He's in a band called Alt View. They're amazing as well. I'd say out of all the bands that we played with, they were touring, at least nationally. We had a great time. We played with Fame on Fire. So yeah, out of the bands I could think of off the top of my head, that's definitely who I would choose.
Anybody else have anyone they'd like to add?
I'm with Lucas.
Yeah, Fame on Fire was, they blew me away. Just how this quality sounded and live and the energy that night. It was before all this happened with the virus, and it was just the last gig we played before this happened.
Yeah, Fame on Fire was fantastic for as big of a band they are. They were very humble, very approachable, very personal people. You know, it was great, and it was really nice. We hadn't even really been a band that long, maybe for 6 months, and that was our first sold-out show.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, so that was obviously pre-COVID, but that was, you know, a really great feeling. We worked really hard, and they're really great people, man. I can't wait, you know, to get back to playing and gigging and traveling, and I'd like to meet up with those guys again. They're good people.
Off the air, I believe you mentioned that you guys are headed to Florida. Is that something we can discuss or no?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're moving August 4th. We had some money come our way. We've been working with some bands and stuff down there a little bit, just in contact and everything. Our show with Fame on Fire went excellent. We got their booking agent. We're in contact with them. we're going to go down there and try out the music scene. We play like pop punk music, and there's a big scene there. It's where like Andrew Wade's from, that mixes like A Day to Remember, Neck Deep, Story So Far, stuff like that. So hopefully we get down there, get established. Once, you know, things kind of let up with COVID, we can start playing some local shows. That's pretty much the goal, is to get down into a scene that's like specifically our genre. I love Pittsburgh, honestly. I met a lot of great musicians here and stuff, but we want to live together so we can write and play music constantly. We want to live in an area where there's no snow. So we had the opportunity to do so. So we figured, why not Florida?
Well, Florida is definitely a place to go if you want to avoid snow.
Yes.
Have you guys been there before?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, I think all of us have it.
No, not me.
John hasn't. Yeah.
I'm from the Philippines. That's why the only place I've been is Pittsburgh.
I went to Disneyland twice when I was a kid, but I didn't really get to like live there or explore very much. So it's gonna be, I think, for all of us, like a really new experience.
Yeah,
I'm beyond excited. There aren't even words for it, you know.
I know that you're currently working on a new release. What can you tell me about it? Like, what's your writing process been? Do you have a release date picked? Do you have any stories about where the songs came from, or something that happened in the studio that you'd like to share with us?
I mean, the album itself comes out August 15th. That's the release date. It just depends on how long it'll actually take for it to hit streaming platforms, depending on how long the lag is, just because of the virus and everything. Things tend to be running slower. We're going to try to upload it the 8th, so it might be before or after that. It just kind of depends. I'd like to give a shout out to Ryan Dowden. That's our audio engineer. He mixed and produced everything we recorded and sent him. Yeah, and Power Nap Records, our label, has done a lot to help us along through the process as well. We also have a manager, Chloe from CEA Management. She does all of our booking and stuff. She's helping us with upcoming shows and just networking and everything. But I can honestly say that I wrote most of the lyrics for the album. These guys helped me structure things and just kind of like help me pull from inspiration. They helped me out with, you know, certain lines and things. I need some help with those. But pretty much the writing process is when we first started, we kind of just took acoustic songs that I'd wrote because I've been performing acoustically for a while. We adapted them. We worked on them after we built a chemistry, which is what most of the EP is now. It's newer stuff. Once we kind of got into a rhythm with how we were going to record things, our music sound went from like a shell of what it could be to what it is now. Pretty much what we do is we either write the lyrics or we write the structure of the song. Then we, you know, perform it live in our studio, and we just kind of work on it and throw ideas back and forth. I know that sometimes we just go into a song and all of us, you know, have the part we want to play down. We already kind of have the idea. And then sometimes we toss things back and forth. Like sometimes, you know, John's like, "Hey man, this is what I'm going to play on the drums. What can we do rhythm wise on guitar?" You know, I know a lot with the bass and stuff. I know John and Kyle work together a good bit with that. And then, with the rhythm and everything, me and Dan, sometimes we'll jam on our acoustics and try to get leads. And then we bring it all into the studio and we just run the song over and over and over again till we have the sound that we want. And I know that a lot of the first two songs on the EP, are what people can, you know, hopefully, look forward to hearing more in the future. That's the more of the sound we're leaning towards. You guys have anything?
Yeah. These are some songs that we like started jamming from when we first all got together, and like recently wrote a couple new ones. And so I just feel like it's been a slowly build up for like to bring back, you know, good music, you know, rock and roll, punk rock.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the way it went, like, kind of when I joined Lucas, it had, like you said, the songs he had written acoustically and had kind of been working at. And we took those first batch of songs, man, and the ones he had written acoustically, and we really polished them and, you know, structured the where we wanted them and made change after change, you know, until we got them where we wanted. And then I love the chemistry that we have in the band, the way that we write. This is the first band where I have total comfortability with everything, where everybody kind of plays a role. And I absolutely love that. From being like a former guitar player and primary songwriter, I love being able to kind of step back and have a different perspective. And we kind of put our own thing on it. We have so many different ideas, and it just works. The chemistry that we all have together writing wise is absolutely phenomenal. Lucas is a fantastic songwriter, man. He'll write these amazing songs and present them to us, and then we basically just wax and buff them and polish them, man. It just works, man. I don't really know how to explain it, dude. It's just natural human creativity, I guess, man. I love it.
You said it all. You said it all. I'm just having fun and playing drums.
Yeah. So how did you guys meet?
I met some people in the music scene a little bit. This other guy that I was hanging out with at the time, his band had broken up. So we kind of just reached out on Facebook and stuff. And then we were actually just like playing music at the point. He had a cajon. I was playing my acoustic and singing. And Dan actually came down that day, came to the city, wanted to meet some musicians. It was during, I think, the Arts Festival.
Yeah, the Arts Festival on the 18th, I remember. Yeah.
And he just rolled up and he had an extra guitar. He's like, can I jam with you? I said, yeah. And he hopped on you know, the lead guitar on acoustic, and it blew my mind. And I told myself, hey man, like I want that to be my lead guitar player.
Tell about the day after when I tried to like hit you up.
Yeah. Then I tried to hit him up on Facebook, which I learned later on down the line, he doesn't use his Facebook that much. So I thought he ghosted me. I was like, dang man, like this guy's
cause good. Like so many new apps that came out and like, I was on the next wave, but like Facebook's always been around.
So yeah. Like, oh, it worked out good.
Check
though,
my messenger.
Then, I actually I'd met Kyle a long time ago through another music event, and he just moved back to Pittsburgh and hit me up, and he said, hey man, heard you're starting a band. You know, I played him some stuff we had recorded. Well, me and Dan have kind of had recorded acoustic wise. He's like, yeah, I like that. I'll be over to jam. And then, you know, I made a post, and I'm not sure if it was Facebook or Craigslist, and John had just actually moved to the United States from the Philippines. And I was like, he's like, hey man, you know, I'd like to come over and try, you know, just like jam and try out. And then I had kind of had a set criteria of what we'd have for the drummer to try out and just jam and stuff. And we were throwing songs at him he's never even heard before. And he was playing like exact drum beats. It blew my mind. And when he left that day, I thought to myself, that dude's too good of a drummer for me.
Yep.
He ain't coming back. We were in my attic at the time, which was like, it was wintertime. It was cold. And I don't know. It was just very interesting because after probably our first show was 2 weeks after we met as a band, all together, we practiced and practiced. We played our first show. It went as good as, you know, expected. I mean, we actually did better than I thought we were going to do. It was my first time playing live in over a year.
Where did you play at?
We played at the Smiling Moose. I actually think it was November 5th, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Now, was that your first show in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, it was my first show.
I bet you were praying after that that not all venues had that many steps.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Yeah, I was going to say. Oh, go ahead, John. Were you saying something? Sorry.
No.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Like the way I was talking about the way that we, our songwriting, the way we click, we kind of just like kind of clicked instantly. I had known Lucas from like other music projects, but we weren't like super close yet or anything. And I actually had him saved in my phone as like Lucas May or something. I had his name spelled wrong. Actually, he put an ad out and I typed the number in and I'm like, Lucas. And I was like, I think I know that guy. You know what I mean? So it switched over to bass recently and Lucas picked me up that day and we're like, hey, we're going to try this drummer out. And like he said, we jammed with John and we're like, yeah, we're not even trying anybody else out. Like, yeah, John's our drummer. You know, it was cool.
I think at the time too, we didn't even have a full drum kit. I don't think the drum kit worked.
We had the Frankenstein.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's come a long way.
My drum kit at the Philippines.
If this is too much of a personal question, don't answer it. John, why did you come to the US? I mean, I'm assuming it wasn't to play the drums.
My mom is a nurse, so we migrated as a whole family.
I'm going to sound like a parent because I am one. How does she feel about you moving to Florida?
It's good because I'm already a performer in the Philippines. So she's kind of used to me not being at home. And she already knows that performing is my life. So she just supports me, my mom and my dad.
Let's jump back to the EP for a moment. I believe the song that I'm going to play, it's going to be the first time that anyone in the public gets to hear it, right?
Yep.
Yeah, we actually, so we performed it live a good many times. I say probably about five. But we never really had the time, because once like we started picking up with shows, there was no real time to just like sit down and like figure out what we needed to buy to record and who we could get in contact with to mix it, master it, and all these things. And then I'd say probably a month after everything got shut down, I'd say March 7th was our last show. March 8th, everything shut down. And we kind of didn't know what to do. We bought a bunch of equipment and stuff. We had some money saved, some time to write stuff. So we started first like rehearsing, hoping things would open back up. They didn't. So we decided we were just going to record it ourselves and then send it away to a couple different people and figure out who could mix and master it. And we learned real quick that the process of recording is way different than the process of writing. We ended up probably recording the song three or four times before we actually were down to a science. The only people that have really heard the song were people that were there live. We had some stuff on our Spotify that was older that we tried to record ourselves when we first met. And once shows started picking back up, like we were playing like every other weekend. Sometimes we were playing back to back in a week, you know, like Saturday, like Friday night, Saturday night. We didn't really have too much time. So when things slowed down, we're just like, we got to get this out. We got to do this. So pretty much this was the first one that we really took time and worked on to record it correctly. And this is the song that we used to build the structure of recording for the rest of the EP. It's also the song that we used to kind of gauge who was going to mix and master it. And once we got it back from Ryan, I was mind blown. It's just crazy what people can do with technology. I mean, we recorded in my home, in my studio. We bought like a Focusrite Claret. We bought a Behringer X32 and stuff. And we just recorded all of it with a metronome in our ears. And yeah, I'm excited, man. I really can't tell you. I've never had a song that was released that was professionally recorded, mixed, and mastered. And yeah, dude, hopefully people like it.
You know what I mean? Ryan's absolutely fantastic for what he does. You know, he was actually a mutual friend of ours. Actually, me and Lucas both knew him
from the scene in
Club Cafe, the Keynote Cafe in Jeanette. Fantastic live venue. The owner's since retired, man, but that's really, I knew Lucas had been down there several times. That's kind of where I ground my teeth, as they say, when I was younger, you know. But like I said, Ryan's just fantastic what he does.
Absolutely.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a moment and we're going to listen to Monday by Modern Welfare. I'm going to pair it with another song, but I didn't do my homework today. So what I'm going to do is look right now and decide what else we're going to play with it. See, I got some new music. You know what? We'll play Melina. Are you guys familiar with Melina?
Yeah, from Chipping the Charge Ups. Absolutely.
Yes.
They're actually a great band, too. I should have recommended them, actually. Was one of the bands that I would love to tour with. They're cool people, man. We had a great show at Roboto with them, and I'd love to play more shows with them. It was such a good time. Dude, I had such a great time that
night. Yeah, Chip's, hey, man, he's one of the best musicians in the whole city.
Yeah, he really is.
He actually taught me how to string my guitar when I was, I think, 10 or 11 years old. Actually, we had some mutual friends growing up. Great songwriter and really good person, man. He really is.
Yeah.
Last summer, Melina tried to convince me to dye my beard pink.
Did you do it?
Did you do it?
No.
So there's no photographic evidence of this, unfortunately.
There is not. But Chip was there when she did. One of them would have to back me, I would assume. And then recently, yesterday, actually, when Melina sent me her new release, my 10-year-old, well, soon to be 10-year-old daughter was listening to me. She's like, I like this. So I pulled up a video and then we watched some Chip and the Charge Ups and she's like, they're called Chip and the Charge Ups. So I'm like, yeah. She goes, they should be called Melina and the Pink Hairs.
Love it.
Okay. So up next, we're going to listen to Modern Welfare and their song Monday. And we're going to pair it up with a track from Melina called Something More. And we will be right back with the gentleman from Modern Welfare.
Soaking fireworks in gasoline in my backyard is my parents' lake. Keep it low-key till they go to work. find your matching hand to hold. Come on, come on, the fire's warm.
You just heard Something More by Melina, and right before that you heard Modern Welfare's track Monday for the first time on a streaming station. I love when that happens. With me are Lucas, Dan, John, and Kyle from Modern Welfare. If you're just joining us, you missed my easy questions that I gave them, you know, like what's the album about, where'd the band meet, you know, the normal questions. We're
gonna get deep.
Yeah. Have you guys, and you can be honest, have all of you listened to the show before?
Yeah, I have.
You have? Are you worried?
Not really. I mean, I don't know. We'll see. Depends on what you ask.
Excited, nervousness, maybe.
So if the four of you were in charge of creating a pop punk compilation disc of Pittsburgh bands, which bands would you include on that disc?
Eternal Boy would have on there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Formerly known as the Space Pimps.
We played with Lookout Loretta. They're pretty good. Obviously, the bands we named before, Your Fractured Fairy Tale, Alt View. There's actually another band I liked a lot. They were called Dash City Skyline. They were supposed to play a show with us, but I think their drummer broke his leg. This is right before the COVID thing happened, so they ended up canceling. I'm trying to think some other pop punk bands that we know. Obviously, Chipping the Charge Ups. I mean, that was a given. My buddy's band, Alt View, love them. They sound excellent. I also have another friend. He's in. They're more like post hardcore, but it's like more along the lines of like it's like a Day to Remember, but heavier. They're called Dive. They're really good too. They just moved here from. I think somewhere in Ohio. They just moved here not too long ago. They played a few shows. Murder for Girls, they were more punk, but they were very cool. They're cool people too.
I've had them on the show.
Fake Accents.
That's it.
Kyle has a friend in that band, Andy Mistel, I think. And they were really cool.
They're fantastic. Yeah. Really good people too.
I'm trying to think some of the other ones too. There was our first show at the Moose, there was a girl that played. I can't remember what her full band is, but she did acoustic stuff. Her name was Sarah Halter, and absolutely excellent singer and songwriter. Her lyrics really hit home with me. I loved it. I don't know. I mean, it depends how big of a disc you're talking. If we're talking like Warped Tour 2008, like they had like four double, CDs. Double you know what I mean? I can name a bunch.
So if I went on tour with you guys, what music would we listen to in between shows?
Everybody.
So today we actually were listening to Biggie on the way back from West Mifflin Denny's.
We had a couple road trips.
We've had a few road trips.
I've been to that Denny's. I used to work at Kennywood.
Yeah, love it. Oh, nice. In all honesty, if you're in my car, I listen to like alternative rock and pop punk, some screamo stuff too. It would depend on whose car you're in. We usually take two vehicles. Dan listens to a lot of rap. He raps also, but he listens to a lot of rap and like a lot of classic rock.
I want to weigh in on that real quick.
Yeah, do it.
Just the Pittsburgh rock scene I support. You know what I mean? Good pump, punk, like rock and roll stuff going on, but the rap's cool too.
Yeah.
You know, you got like Wiz and shout out to, you know, Mac and who else? A whole bunch of people, you know?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, we have Lucas's idea. We actually got the family plan on Spotify. Like, it is literally my favorite thing in the world. We have every genre on there. There's country on there. There's like boy bands. There's punk rock. There's hardcore on there. Old blues.
I know one day I was listening to it.
Stuff like
it went from Under Oath to Michael Jackson. I was like, wow, what a transition.
Magic Sam's on there. Just Allman Brothers. We have every genre imaginable on this Spotify family plan. I love it.
Cool.
Yeah, send it. It's good. Yeah. Good playlist.
Oh, great playlist.
If you're able to sit down with anyone in the history of music and ask them one question, who would you want to talk to and what would you ask them?
I know for me, honestly, if I had to ask one person, it would be to ask Chester Bennington what I need to do to scream like he does. He'd probably have a million answers, so I probably need a notebook, but I would still, that's the person I would ask if I wanted to ask one question to one musical artist. It would be to ask him either to tell me what he did to learn how to scream correctly too, to not hurt his voice, or if he would teach me how to do that. So that's my answer.
Oh man, I got a couple legends and people I've looked up to. I would just want to jam with Slash, or like go back and see Hendrix and just ask him to play some, you know.
That's hard. I mean, I feel like we could sit here for a half hour just on that question. You know, so many come to mind. Honestly, the first thing that popped in mind was Robert Johnson. I would ask him if he actually did go down to the crossroads and if he actually did, and if that was all just a story, his rehearsal and practice techniques. I would pick his mind on that. Definitely, man.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like that'd be very interesting.
Yeah.
Mine would be Travis Barker of Blink-182. And I'm going to ask him if he can teach me more about the knowledge of drums.
Yeah.
That's all.
Let's say 10 years from now, your trip to Florida pays off and you are you're signed to major label and it's your turn to give advice to a younger band. What's the one piece of advice you would give them?
For me, at least, I have a niece and nephew, and my girlfriend has a lot of younger siblings as well. It would be honestly the same thing that my parents told me whenever I was younger. Find what I love to do and do it. And to honestly follow my heart, I've been at countless jobs. I went to college, graduated from college. I've had a decent career jobs, you know what I mean? In all honesty, the only thing I've ever had a passion for in life is music and singing. And hopefully later on down the line, when there's some success, it'll be a testament to all the people who, you know, are not only in my town, but just in my life and other people who are musicians that are younger, that everyone who tells you that this dream is impossible are people who actually didn't try to achieve the dream. To be like a testament that all you have to do is follow your dreams and stay on the path and practice and put in hard work. And it'll pay off.
Yeah, kind of just to show, you know, everybody we grew up with in our hometown and stuff, like, it's possible. Let's try to, like, lead by example. Like, no matter what you want to do with your life and follow your dreams.
Kind of like Lucas was saying, you know, I've went to school. I've had, you know, decent jobs before. But this is the one thing in my life that, like, brings me true happiness. And I would tell that younger band, work harder than anybody, chase your dreams with a passion like nobody else has. And it is possible. And anybody, that tells you it's not possible, you don't need them around. Cause it is, you should always follow your dreams, man.
For me, I'm going to say to them that, enjoy, trust the process, hard work and practice and sacrifice. That's all.
Yeah. Can I add some? Like, yeah, just if you're a musician, you know, just keep putting out music and playing live and show people what you got. Don't be afraid to hide it.
Yeah.
You know,
confidence is definitely key. Sometimes you have to just take that leap of faith and get some criticism in order to grow. And I think that if you never conquer that fear of playing in front of people, you'll never follow your dream. You know, you just got to get out there and just put it on the line and do it.
And you need to fake it till you make it sometimes.
Yeah, man. Sometimes you got to fake it till you make it, you know.
If there was an apocalyptic event, which isn't too much of a stretch right now, and
facts.
The majority of the people on the earth are wiped out, and there's a handful of people left, and one song from every band in the history of the world survives, which Modern Welfare song would survive and why?
The one on the new one.
What are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm trying to think, because, like, if this is an apocalyptic world, because I'm picturing, like, Fallout, you know what I mean, the video game. I'm thinking, like, what people would still find relative and have history about. So I'm going to say the first song on the EP. It's actually called Strays and Losers. And I feel like for some reason in a post-apocalyptic world, it would just resonate more. And plus, too, there's not a lot of things that are situational or there's a time frame on them. A lot of the stuff that's being talked about in that song is more of a dialect based on, like, feelings and communication between people than it is, like, specific time, specific events. I think that would be the one I would choose. I'm not sure what you guys think, but I think I would.
No. Yeah. That song.
Yeah.
Which, sorry. You got to wait till the album drops.
Yeah. But that song too. I love it.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite songs in the album. Yeah, for sure.
Same here. And that was in the, that was one of the first ones in that first batch where we all started, like, the four of us writing. You know what I mean? It's one of my favorite songs that we have. I'd either say Strays or Losers or, the other one is on Memoria Bridge.
Memoria Bridge, yeah.
It's another amazing song that will be on this EP that Lucas wrote himself. I won't say too much more about it other than I cried like a baby the first time he played it for me, man.
Plus, so. This song, too, also encompasses all four of us writing lyrics, which was something that the first couple songs he wrote, we just took the lyrics I had, you know what I mean? And as the writing process moved along, we all kind of weigh in on stuff. John helps me out a lot with the melody that I'm going to sing and changing it up, you know, like from coming from an acoustic artist, man, all my songs ended up sounding the same eventually. You know what I mean? These guys pushed me to my limits. And I think that that shows, that would show the entire ability of the band as well. Like just as musicians and just like lyrics and everything. I think that that one pretty much can sum us up, our sound, at least what we're going for right now.
Okay. Last question for you. Can you give out your social media links and where you expect your album to be released online so people can find it?
Yes. Yeah, so our Facebook is facebook.com/modernwelfare.pgh. Our Instagram is at modernwelfare.pgh. YouTube, and it's, I think it's welfare modern.
It's modern welfare too.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it? Okay. I can't remember. I actually don't know if we have like the tag link for the YouTube. I think it might, you can just look our band name up. It'll pop up. And then Spotify as well. Currently right now, we took off our two old songs in order to, you know, just like release this EP correctly. So that, you know, as you're going through songs and stuff on Spotify, it sounds professional. You don't get like that.
Best foot
that
forward.
B-side song, you know what I mean? Maybe when we're famous, people listen to those things, yeah. But I think that it doesn't give us justice for what our songs sound like. So we took those ones off.
Bandcamp, it'll be on there.
We have a Bandcamp as
iTunes
well.
iTunes eventually.
It's actually, our Bandcamp's linked through our label. So if you go to Bandcamp and you type in Power Nap Records, it actually is on there. And you can also search us as Modern Welfare as well on that.
Did we say Spotify as well?
Yeah, when we release the EP, it'll be on, I think it's like 25 plus streaming platforms. So it's on, you know, the main ones, which is like Spotify, Apple Music. Then it goes the whole way down to like, you could Shazam our song if you never heard it. It's on, what's the other one? Muzi, I think Muzi or something like that. Stuff like that. It'll be all on there. And hopefully, like I said, by August 15th.
Yep.
And the name of the EP, if you can't find it, search for our name, which you should still be able to. It's called Welcome to My Cardboard Mansion.
See, that brings up another question. So I lied. I have one more question. All right. where did that come from?
Most of the lyrics that I wrote come from a very... I can't say dark looking back on it, but it comes from a very interesting time in my life where, there was a point in time in my life where I made not so great decisions coming out of college and I had ran my life into the ground. And during that time period in my life, you know, I was in and out of what I can call like institutions. Just I was homeless at the time. I had no drive to do anything for the future. Whenever we were talking about EP names, we sat down and we just like listened to what the songs were about and what the music was about. And a lot of it comes either from inspiration from when I was in that dark place or the inspiration that came after that dark place, which any inspiration that I've ever had comes from a very rough time in my life or being able to look back on a rough time in my life, 2020, being in a good spot in my life. And Welcome to My Cardboard Mansion is simply, if I could encase it in a small words, would be that it's the album itself. This one is from the perspective of somebody who's sitting in some cardboards, it's homeless. But their mind state is like, "Hey, welcome to my cardboard mansion." Like a good mindset on that. Like, hey, like I might not have this large mansion, but like this is my cardboard mansion. Like, welcome, Eric. This is my home, and you're invited. You know what I'm saying? The next album we might build off of this one and be from a totally opposite perspective. We're not really sure yet, but I can honestly say this album, this EP at least, is there's definitely a concept to it. The songs kind of coincide. I can't say they tell a 100% from page one to the end story, but if you listen to it, you can hear the difference between the progress of where it's at and to the last song. It goes from heavier, darker, to it builds itself to lighter, which essentially is what we tried to encompass with the name of the album. We thought it was a cool name. It's punk. We like that. And also, too, we're hoping that these songs can help people someday, and that people can look back on this. And when they see the cover of the album, which we have ideas for, but when they see this and they hear the words, not only don't they don't feel so alone if they're in that situation, but they also know there's people who've been out of that situation, people that come from nothing, and they can build a life and a dream for themselves. You know, I actually think Kyle's the one to come up with that name. I can't remember. We were just writing names on my board over here.
It
was perfect.
I think I kind of pieced it together, but you had planted the seed with basically saying what you just told me there. And then the story too, with your little, with your brother.
My brothers used to always tell me, cause I would, when I was younger, I was more along the lines of like a free spirit, kind of like a hippie. And I was a minimalist. I didn't want anything. I traveled around with hippies and stayed in the woods and all these other things. And my brothers would always joke with me. And it was usually around Christmas time when I get money and I'd be really excited. They would say, there you go. You can buy yourself a cardboard mansion. So they just pick on me. You know what I mean? But I don't know, man. I think it was a cool concept and we all agreed. And it was just, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I'm excited.
Me too, man.
I loved the name of the album before you told me the story, and now I love it even more. So I do want to thank you guys for coming on.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you for real.
And good luck in Florida.
Thank you, man.
When you release that next album, I have another podcast called Three Questions and a Song that we can do that one on.
Okay, cool.
Hey, look forward to it, man. We appreciate having us on tonight.
Yeah.
No problem. You're going to hear some more of the best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer right here on PARockShow.com and all the streaming stations. And then you'll get to hear John Lane take us out as he always does at the very end from the Hellfire Club.
Care. On and on, the time takes by. This episode of the Pennsylvania Rock Show has ended, but be sure to subscribe to be introduced to more of the best on-sign rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer. Don't forget to rate and review the show, and we'll see you on the next episode.
What's up, guys? We're Modern Welfare, and we'd like to give a few shout-outs. I'd like to give a shout-out personally to my mother. I'm also get my family back home. Laura, my beautiful girlfriend. I'd like to give a shout-out to Mikey Yoder from Dreamer Clothing Company. I'd also like to give a shout-out to Waymar Jerem, a band friend, a good friend. Also like to give a shout-out to Austin Orth, the manager of our label, Power Nap Records. I'd also like to give a shout-out to Chloe Amesler, our band manager, and to Ryan Dowden, who's mixed our EP. I'd also like to give a shout out to Brandon Evans Brandon Evans for getting me introduced to the music scene here in Pittsburgh. Dan, go for it.
Yeah. All my family keeps me on my toes. You guys know who you are, all my friends. You know, shout out to Will. All you guys, just as long as we all stay, you know, stay how we are, keep going. You guys are going to see us through this whole journey, the process. So appreciate it.
Thanks, Dan. Shout out to my mom. She's always been my biggest fan. My brothers, Garrick and Ryan. My friends, Josh, Dan, and Cody. Wayne, our biggest fan. Label Power Nap. Ryan for mixing our album. Yeah. Of course, you guys. My brothers from other mothers.
It's 100.
Shout outs to my mom and dad, my friends and family in the Philippines, Multo Media that edits our photos, Ghost Gaming Esports, Candy Flip Clothing, Low Key, my friend, the rapper in the Philippines. Check him out. YM Shoe Cleaning, my cousin's business, and my streamer friends, Josa Gaming, Zombie Gaming, Clarence Librilia, Jigger. Jigs Were Gaming, Awit Gaming, Jetski Gaming, and Guay, and especially my girlfriend in the Philippines. I love you. Mahal ko kayo.